This is a presentation of the Shelbyville News Sports Network. For more sports content and local news, check out shelbynews.com.
Welcome into the first episode of the Shelby Scoop. I'm your co-host, Drew Everhart. We'll be joined by my fellow co-host, Zane Ballinger, later. First episode is a very special episode. We have Hunter Skillman in the building talking about his three-part article about the 20th anniversary of the Waldron State Championship. So a lot of fun, very interesting topics. Let's just go ahead and hit the music.
This is the Shelby Scoop.
All right, joined by Shelbyville News sports editor Hunter Skillman, and he just came out with a big-time story, 20th anniversary of the Waldron State Championship team. What was the process like for going through this article? I know you've been working on it for a while.
Yeah, I really set the goal really high. I really like Coach Coy. Coach Coy, I got a lot of respect for him. He does a lot to help me out. He sends me articles and stuff like that about the teams that he helps with, and I really appreciate that a lot. And this was such a cool thing because I go sit in the gyms all the time for basketball season, and I look up on the walls and I see the banners, especially in Morristown and Waldron. I see those state championship banners. I got to do the one on the Yellow Jackets last year, and that was a blast. This was the 20th anniversary, and I was just like, this is awesome. So on January 26th, the Waldron basketball team had a night honoring that team that won, and Chad Williams, our photographer, got some really awesome photos of that as a throwback of the 20th, slightly a little bit before. The real 20th anniversary was the 27th of March here, which was when the story came out, of course. So I got to see like a lot of them now, but as I started to go back and I started to research this, it just blew my mind. Like, you see that they went 27-0 and it's a state championship team, and that in itself is just really impressive.
It's one of the few later teams to go undefeated in state championship. I think they're the last team in 1A to do it. I mean, it's been 20 years since any 1A team's done it. I think some 4A teams have done it the past few years, but yeah, it's super impressive. And you never see donuts in the loss column really that much anymore.
But the crazy thing is that's really just where it gets started. Like, obviously 27-0, like, wow. But like, I had to write this in a three-part story. Like, as I went and talked to people and stuff, I originally wanted to talk to 10 people. I ended up getting 6 interviews done, which I was really happy with. That's a pretty big project in itself, getting all those interviews and stuff like that. But as I started talking to people, it's just crazy. And most of the time, you think of the season beginning at the first game. But in the season before, they went like 10-12, I want to say, and then their coach resigned. These guys were on their third coach in 3 years, and they didn't get their eventual coach, Coach Delaney, until September of that year. So
that's crazy, because the amount of times now you see teams are like, all right, you get a new coach, you want to start your program, you are starting the second that you can. I mean, basketball warm-ups, workouts have been starting out. I think you're allowed 4 hours a week now, IHSAA. So people are already going at it, and yet these guys didn't have a coach till September, which I know you'll get into it, but the coach alone is an interesting enough story. Delaney is awesome. But, yeah, September is crazy, and then to have that kind of season with the amount of guys they had. I mean, there's a lot of names on that banner, but it was 6 guys that were in the rotation, and that 6 guy was kind of just in there to give guys breathers whenever.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, the more and more that I researched it and talked to him, it was just crazy. Like, a lot of the guys were kind of like, they had a little bit of dissension going on going into that season. Like, some of them were kind of worried about ruining their friendships by getting too competitive and putting too much expectations on this senior year. They had like 8 seniors on the team and a lot of stuff like that. Coach roulette's going on. So I can imagine it was probably pretty hard to even pretend like they have a lot is going into this year, 10 and 12 the last year and stuff like that. And one other really cool thing about the coaching thing is the Morristown job was open at the same time. The Southwestern job was actually open too, but with the Shelby Eastern stuff especially, it was really cool because Morristown hired Coach Mack, Scott McClelland, that year.
A legend in his own right.
In his second stint with the team in 2018, he got them the banner that I was kind of talking about earlier, and that just blows my mind that Shelby Eastern hired 2 state championship winning coaches within a couple months of each other.
Who now arguably are at the peak of their powers. I mean, arguably Delaney's peak of powers was a few years prior at Indiana Tech. He had Trey Lyles, CJ Walker, those guys. But I mean, him at Cathedral has been just as good. I mean, they had Xavier Booker last year, which surprisingly wasn't even the best player on that team. The best player on that team went on to play football at Purdue. So, yeah, and then McClellan, Noblesville, I mean, they're always at the top. I mean, and that sectional they were in this year had, what, top 4 of the top 7, I think. So, just crazy enough. And, yeah, having both those jobs open and getting those guys, I don't know how it's not talked about more. I didn't even know that.
And they were both first-year guys, too. Right. That's the craziest thing about it. Like, Delaney's a first-year coach coming in, and it just keeps getting crazier from there. Like, he told me, like, he remembered kind of, like, when the job interview was going on, that was one of the things that Walden wanted to know, like, how are you going to, like, get everybody on the same page and kind of get us pointing in the same direction, even though it's kind of later. And a lot of guys, like, it's crazy how many coaches prioritize, like, the summertime and the off season. Like, it's such a big deal. So
it's a whole other season. I mean, that's just the opportunity you get. You get the summer, you get to work really hard in June. July, you have moratorium. But June is its own season. It is crazy.
And for him to not get that, and then he told me they had a scrimmage at the beginning of the year against Tri, and he was like, man, these guys are behind schedule. And the first game against Brown County rolled around, and I think they scored like 6 points or something in their first quarter, 6 or 10 points in their first quarter of the season. It's just crazy, like, looking back on stuff like that, because I got to look through the scorebook, so I got to look quarter by quarter and follow the year before that year, the year after, and just look at how really special it was, because the year after they didn't get a win. It's just really crazy. losing 8 yeah. seniors and stuff, like, it's obviously going to be really hard, but mm-hmm. 10 and 12, 27 and 0, and then 0 and whatever. That's just crazy. Like, this group of guys just decided to just put the entire community of Walden on their shoulders, and the community of Walden was right there for the way, because, like, these guys gave so much credit to the fans and everybody that was there. But, wow. Like, I was a little guy at the time. Like, I'm 24, about to turn 25. But just hearing all these stories really made me wish that I could have experienced it firsthand, some of the ways that I was hearing it.
Yeah, my parents told me that I went to that state championship game, but I was 3, so I have no idea what was going on. And I've, you know, 20 years, I asked people that were, you know, like, family members and people in the community, because the most packed I've ever seen Waldron, at least the first time I saw it really packed, was my freshman year was the first time in I don't know how many years Shelbyville came to Waldron to play. And it was so, I just remember it being so hot in that gym, and people were like, no, it was kind of quiet at first, but then as the season went on, it was like that every weekend. And I mean, I'm a Waldron guy, but Waldron is the best community out there, in my opinion. I mean, no matter how bad you are, how good you are, you're going to get a decently sized crowd. And, I have so many questions about this team, just, like, based on, because I was coached my 5th and 6th grade year by Justin Sawyer. And it never really clicked for me that he was on that team until I was in, like, 8th grade. And I was like, oh, I could have asked him so many questions. But, man, you want to talk about a shooter. Justin Sawyer was a shooter.
that was one of the things, I can't remember which Barnard brother was talking about it, but one of them was saying that he never got the credit he deserved for being as good of a shooter as he was, 100%.
Yeah, and the Barnard twins themselves are such an anomaly. The fact, I don't know how they only picked one of them to be an all-star. Justin has that kind of over Jordan, but you look at their numbers, they were almost, I mean, they're identical twins, but their stats were pretty much identical.
And you look through that year, and they both had so many crazy games. Like, I didn't want to do all the math and add up those points per game averages and stuff like that. I probably could have found that out there somewhere. But if I had to guess, they were both probably in the 20s. Like, so many 20 bombs for both of them. It was just crazy.
I want to say Jordan had, like, 22, and Justin may have had like 21.7. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And you, again, you're getting that every night from those guys. So,
and then you've got nights where Justin Sawyer comes out there and hits 19 points worth of buckets, and it's just like, wow, look at this. Like, three guys, just, you have no clue. And that's the crazy thing about basketball. When you see fourth, fifth, sixth options just coming in and just taking over a game, and you just have no clue. And then you got twins who are throwing alley-oops to each other and stuff like that. Just forget about it.
In which they did that. The most famous ones are they did in semi-state. I forget who threw to who, and then they did it, was it once or twice in the state game?
I'm not 100% sure about the state game, but I know for a fact that Jordan threw Justin alley-oop that crossed him from 43 to 45 points, which broke Jordan's record that he broke like the third game of the year against Morristown. He had 44, and then he threw a lob to his brother in the White River Valley. Yeah.
Which, if you ask anyone, they say that's the best game they've ever seen, just in general. Not even from that season, that's the best game anyone's ever seen.
And, yeah, that's one thing that a lot of guys were saying. Like, Jordan and Justin were saying that a lot of people years after still come up to them and say that that's the best game that they've ever seen. So, that's just two guys scoring 40 points. Like, oh, man. And Graves went on to be such a beast at Butler, too. Like, yeah. I remember seeing that, like, growing up. I do remember that because, obviously, anytime, like, Butler and all those guys were going on big runs in the tournament, that was always really fun to watch as a little kid and stuff.
And I don't want to say I'm super close, but every now and then I'll see the Barnard twins and they know me and I'll talk with them. But again, I never really ever talk with them about basketball because they're neighbors to my uncle's farm. They have their own farm, so it's more just like, hey, how's the farm life going, all that. I need to talk to them about basketball. I could pick their brains for 5 hours. I'm afraid I'm going to do that with you here, honestly.
I probably got to spend about 10 to 20 minutes with each person from the team, and I felt like I was just, like, wasting their time, but, like, they were like, no, please, like, we enjoy talking about this so much. And then in the end, I felt like, man, I wish I would have asked them this. I wish I would have asked them that. It's just one of those situations where, yeah, you could definitely sit and talk to any single one of those guys and talk to them for hours. Like, there's even people on that team that I really wanted to talk to, and spring break happened the week before my deadline was and stuff, so it just didn't end up working out. But there's even more people that I really wanted to talk to that were involved with that team.
Yeah, that's the weird thing with the whole basketball tournament is that even when I was in high school, like, my friends, but hey, you want to go on a spring break trip? I'm like, wait until we're out of the tournament. I'll talk to you then. Because even like my last couple years there, we weren't really going to get a sectional title or anything like that. But I was still like, talk to me when we're out. It's probably a yes, but if we're still going, I cannot do anything. And yeah, that whole spring break is just tough because, you know, everyone plans for spring break. And you have an anniversary like this. It was right around spring break for them. And, yeah, that I feel for you there. That's really tough because, yeah, spring break's tough. Just no other way to say it.
And there's so many cool things about that. Obviously, go check out the full stories. It's a three-parter. It's pretty big. I like to write big stories most of the time. But I enjoy it. And most of the time, like, the people that I'm writing the stories on really deserve it. So it's hard for me to try to condense that into something small when I can really just pour my heart out there and give the people the story that they deserve and stuff. But it's a really big three-parter and stuff. But I got the more in-depth and scores and stuff like that on the season, but obviously that 27-0 run's crazy. The state championship game, they ended up scoring more points in the first quarter than the other team did in the first half.
I highly encourage you to check that game. It's on YouTube.
That is, yep.
You can look up IHSAA 2004 state championship, and you can see that Waldron game, and then you can also see the 4A, which has Greg Oden, Mike Conley at Lawrence North. And so that whole year was really good. But, yeah, they came out just – I mean, it looked like the other team was – they looked like JV. It wasn't even close. And, I mean, shout out to Blackhawk Christian. They're really good now. It's really nice to see back then. You're like, oh, really, Blackhawk Christian. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then they won that. And some of my favorite parts, like, obviously the beginning's so cool with all the legendary coaches up for grabs and the fact that they went under 500 the year before and all that. And they pulled together this amazing season. And then the run itself is just so impressive. And then after the fact, some of the things I just really enjoyed talking about. Like one thing that they talked about was they remembered the day of the state championship, Waldron was just a freaking ghost town. Like nobody was there and stuff like that. Another thing that was really funny that I found during the season, they made counterfeit tickets to the Shelby County tournament. That was one of the highlights of the story for me, because I love the Shelby County tournament. It's one of my favorite things with between all three seasons and stuff like that, and counterfeit tickets.
I think it's the best out there. I mean, the county tournament, you with the whole the bell, which is really cool. I went to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Newcastle, and they have the original bell just in storage. Now, because I went there when I was younger, I was a spring break thing, or maybe fall break, and they had it on display. I went there a couple years ago, and I asked them, like, you guys still have the Shelby County bell? And they're like, yeah, it's in storage. You want us to go and get it for you? I was like, yeah. So yeah, I have a picture. It's on my Twitter account. But yeah, it's really cool. And I mean, that and the new bell is also awesome. I mean, I've only been in its presence once, and it was when I was on JV and just walking into the locker room like, oh, yep, there's the bell. So that's really cool. The other thing I wanted to touch on was the streak of teams in this area going to the state championship. Because was it the year before? Was it Hauser?
Nope. Actually, that was one thing that I didn't even talk about. Now, I talked about it more in the story. They actually lost to Southwestern in the sectional, and Southwestern went on to win the state championship. And that was one mm-hmm. other thing, is that seeing that group of Southwestern guys that were their friends, they competed against them 2-3 times a year in mm-hmm. the county tourney and all that, seeing those guys go on and this close, I think that was like a 4-point game.
I think so, yeah.
And they did that, and a lot of those guys said, like, we might not have truly believed it at the time, but that moment right there really kind of opened up the, like, window of possibility that, hey. And another thing is, like, it was within the first couple years of class basketball. I think they told me that class basketball started in 98, I want to say.
Yeah, 98. That's
so
right.
It had only been a couple years, so I can't imagine how, like, important that time was for, like, us here, for some of the smaller schools, realizing that they didn't have to go on, like, some crazy mile and run or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in which I remember when I was really young, I argued that this Waldron team deserved its own Hoosiers movie. Because, again, undefeated, that's really something impressive. And I have my own qualms with Hoosiers. Great movie. I love it. It's just not accurate, really, at all, to the fact where the team is really terrible the year before. But, no, they made it to the state final that the year before. But anyway, yeah, and then Hauser goes the year after and wins it all, which, again, three-year stretch for guys, for schools that are all on State Road 9 within 20 miles. I could not imagine to be in those gyms during that 3-year span.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. Like, I think the class, like, obviously that's a big thing right now. New classifications just got announced today by the mm-hmm. IHSAA, and I think it's really cool stuff. Like, it's like, especially considering that all three of the 1A schools have been to a basketball state final since it was implemented, when you really think about
yeah.
it. Like, stuff like that's just really cool to think about, the memories and stuff like that that you've created for local guys here with something like that. So that's one thing that I think is really cool too.
And I don't want to – I think even if – and I've heard people say this, that if there wasn't class basketball, Waldron still would have had a really good chance that year to go all the way. Now, there's a lot of really good 4A schools you would have to go through, but they were saying – I've heard from people saying there wasn't really much of anyone they were going to lose to that year.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, I can think of a couple guys there that might have gave him a tough time on that Lawrence North team, but
oh my, could you imagine the Barner Twins against Greg Oden? Because that was, I think, Greg Oden's sophomore year, so he was still kind of young and developing a little bit. That was number one kid, man, in the country.
That's one of the biggest what ifs of all time.
I love Greg Oden.
But kind of going back to the big topic here. After they won, this was one of my favorite things, is they went back and kind of started celebrating for a little bit, and then they were like, okay, now we got to go back to Waldron and let the real celebration begin. Mm-hmm. And they had like a pep rally and all kinds of stuff. Like, everybody was there, and some of the guys were telling me they remembered pulling up to the school and the entire town was toilet papered and stuff like that. and oh man, I just can't imagine seeing that stuff. And They go in, and Coach Delaney wanted to talk to him for a little bit before they went out and did the pep rally. And as they're going back to the locker room, they see the entire gym is just filled, which wasn't too big of a surprise. It was standing room only and stuff, basically the entire season. But just that, like, last time coming in and looking around and seeing everybody there was really special for a lot of those guys. And then one thing, kind of going even further on that, like, I go cover these guys all year, and I see that moment where the season's over and the guys are coming out of the locker rooms all sad because they're seniors and their season's done and stuff like that. And you always think, like, man, I wish that I would have got to see them win it all. But they even kind of had that moment of going back in that locker room and going, man, we just won the state championship, but that doesn't matter. This is the last time we're ever putting on that Waldron jersey and going out there and representing and all that. And I never really thought about it like that until I was talking to those guys. You think, ooh, congrats, you won the state championship, but you don't think about the fact that those guys come to the same reality that everybody else does, that it's all over then.
Yeah, and I've heard when Bill Russell was at San Francisco, they won the championship his senior year. He's crying in the locker room. An assistant coach goes up to him and goes, what's the deal? I mean, you just won it all. And he goes, this is the last time I'm going to wear this USF jersey. Like, you understand that? No matter what it was, I was done after today. And cleaning out your locker, no matter the circumstance, is terrible when you're a senior, just because. Well, for me, it was like, well, I'm on the baseball now, but after that, what else is it going to be? It's crazy enough when, in my freshman year, Waldron won county. I wasn't on the varsity team, but I was on the bus. We won county, and there we had a fire truck escorting us with police escort. So I can't even imagine for state what was going on. There had to have been all of Shelbyville, all of just everywhere, just any kind of truck with lights you can get.
Yeah, they remember doing fire truck parades and stuff like that, too. So that's really cool to know that that's been going on for a long time. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me too much, knowing the community and stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, like, and then another thing is kind of going on to the theme night that I talked about kind of at the beginning. Like, kind of went full circle on January 26th. They had that really awesome theme night and stuff. They were all really thankful for Coach Coy stepping up and doing a good job like that. There were a bunch of other ones. I can't set and name all the different theme nights that they did this year, but like,
shout out to Coach Coy.
It was a lot of fun for me to go cover and learn about the history, because that's one thing is I'm a big history nerd, and I love learning about the history of these teams, especially before I was here and stuff. I went to school here and graduated in 2017 and stuff, but there's so much history that I would just like to know, because it'd be cool seeing kids break records and being able to go, boom, that's stood since 81 or something, and seeing some of the people that, like, built up the programs around town to the point where they're at and stuff. That was just so cool.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Also, again, be sure to check out Hunter's article. Really great stuff.
So I had a follow-up question real quick. How did you decide where to start? I know you said you did six interviews, and it was a big, long, epic piece, how did you decide where to start?
So yeah, I'll kind of just, I'll walk you through my process of just writing any story really. For this one, it was a little bit more intensive because of the amount of sources and all that. So when I'm writing a story, what I'll always do is I will kind of transcribe the interviews. I always ask people like, hey, is it cool if I record this? Just because like, I'm not a fast enough typer and my memory's not good enough to remember exactly everything that people are saying when I'm talking to them. So I always do that. That's step number one, is getting a good quality interview of the interview. And then from there, I kind of like transcribe it out. You can like use a tool for that. You can listen to it. It just is up to you. So I will like listen to it, make sure I'm getting everybody's quotes, and I'll just kind of like listen through the interview, kind of like get everybody's like big quotes kind of blocked out, kind of like put like Coach Delaney at the top and then all his quotes, and then I'll move on to my interview with Justin Sawyer, and then I'll do that. In the end, I'll be honest, I had about a document with 4,000 to 5,000 words. It was a big number like that, and it was just little nuggets, little gold nuggets. And from there, like when I had the 6 different interviews of stories with the 4,500 words, I just kind of was like, okay, now I kind of have all these quotes. And when I'm writing, I always try to just kind of weave things together and let the people that I'm talking to really tell the story. So I'll kind of like look through that and see like what's the best starting point. And I'm like looking through it, and I was originally going to do a 2-parter. I even told all the guys at the interviews, I was like, I'll probably do one that's like the championship run from the beginning of the year up to the state championship game. And then the next one will be kind of like looking back at the legacy it's left since. And even looking back and doing the transcription of the interviews, I was learning things, because sometimes I'm talking so fast. That's another thing about recording the interviews. Sometimes things are going so well and it's conversational. Sometimes I don't even catch some of the really cool nuggets of information that people are saying. And I'll just go back and I'll be like, wow, like learning like that they just weren't getting along and stuff like that made me kind of go, wow. And that they went 10 and 12 the year before and doing all the research of just kind of like setting the scene, just all that stuff. I was just like, wow. So I was like, I better make this a 3-parter and kind of like set the stage, which was, I think, what ended up being my headline, just because so many things about that run made it special. So like I started out talking about that. I had a really cool sound clip of Brian Hurst, the top defensive guy. He was guarding like the guards and forwards and stuff. Unless they were big and the Barnard twins were guarding them, that was his job. He was the lockdown. He said like he was even thinking about not playing that year, because like I said earlier, like his friendships with those guys mattered more than butting heads over trying to win a bunch of games, because they went 10 and 12 and lost to the guys that went to the state championship the year before and stuff like that. And just hearing stuff like that made me go like, whoa, I better talk more about how this came to be. And then obviously the run in itself is just so impressive. I legit go game by game. I talked about every single win of the 27 at one point in that story, just because like, well, as I talked to people, certain ones really stuck out. Every single game in that is impressive in itself, because they were the 9th team in history at that point to go undefeated. I know Ben Davis did last year. Not 100% sure what number they are, but it hasn't been too many since. And just that run, I call it the run of a lifetime. That was for sure the headline of that one, just because, wow, like that run was impressive. And then I ended up following through on the last part, going through and just kind of like looking back on it all. I really like telling the full story of things. I know in classes in journalism, they talk to you about inverted pyramid and yada yada, but sometimes things just aren't impressive when you get the blunt facts, face value, and see what they really did. Sometimes setting the stage and going chronologically like that's my favorite way to write feature stories and stuff. It was a big process, and I'd be lying to you if I said there weren't some times leading up to it, especially when my deadline got moved up. I was pretty stressed out, but holy cow. Like in the end, it's just one of those things that you're stressed out, it comes out, and then you're just so relieved and happy that all the work you put into it in the end.
How are you able to contact all those sources for like from the past team?
Yeah, so kind of going back to what we've been talking about, Coach Coy is awesome. He already had everybody's contact information, and he even reached out to me ahead of the January 26th game. Really like the beginning of the season. I want to say it was in November or December. He had all this stuff planned out already, just down to the T. It was awesome. And he already had everybody's information. And I said, I did a story for the Morristown guys last year. This is something I've been really looking forward to for completely honestly a year now, because I go cover the freaking games all the time, look up in the and see the banners and stuff, kind of like I was talking about earlier. So this is one I've really been looking forward to. So seeing that he had already done so much of that legwork and getting that contact information and getting those guys really only inspired me to do an even better job of it, because he seriously just sent me an email of like 10 different people. I want to say just these would be awesome people that would probably want to talk to you. Not everybody wanted to, not everybody got to because of spring break, some scheduling issues and stuff like that. But yeah, he sent me a huge list of contacts, and even some of the guys were like, I talked to these guys every single day, and I talked to him about it last night, and he said he would want to do it and stuff like that. So kind of like a lot of the times when you find something like that those guys were that passionate about, sometimes they even help you find the sources and stuff like that, because like it was just something that makes them so happy. And Coach Delaney even said, like, you cannot see each other for a decade on a state championship winning team and you just come back together, and it's just like you never like grew apart or anything. And I really noticed that with these guys. They were really good about helping me get in touch with everybody that I needed to, so it really wasn't much work at all for me, and I got to give everybody that helped me a lot of credit for that.
Gotcha. And when I know you touched on a little bit, you said there were people that were more than happy to talk with. Was there anyone that was just not willing to talk or that just didn't want to discuss anything?
Not really. At the end, like, some people were like, man, I don't really think that I would like be able to contribute that much. Like, I did talk to the assistant athletic director at the time, and she was just like, I don't really know, like, what could I really say that like they can't, basically. And I really respected her honesty. I would have really liked to talk to her too, though, because the administration aspect, I really wanted to talk to her about the hiring process. Cause like I talked about, like, that, one of my favorite aspects of the entire story is the fact that they had two unproven, like, first year guys, and they both ended up winning state championships for the schools that hired them and all that. But just talking to her about that would have been really awesome, and it would have been hard for me to figure out where to fit that in the story. That would have made another problem pop up, but I feel like it would have been really worth it in the end.
Gotcha. And I had another question about, I know you touched on earlier that they didn't have a coach until, I think you said September, wasn't it?
Yep.
How was that coach with such a big group of seniors? How was he able to win over that locker room, or were you able to at least discuss that?
Yeah. So, let me think about that. One of the biggest things, I don't want to misquote him here because I don't have it in front of me either, but like one of the big things that I do remember for sure, he came in and said that he just wanted everybody to be on the same page. He is a big guy on playing the game the right way and stuff like that. And like, he just really did a good job of just motivating those guys, kind of helping them realize what was possible. Like he said, one day leading up to everything, there was a day where like everybody was just kind of being undisciplined and stuff, and they had to run them for like an hour, no touching the basketballs, nothing, just running down and backs and suicides and all that. Oh, I'm getting flashbacks to when I played as a little kid now, just thinking about all that. But they were doing a bunch of running and all that, and he like was just telling them, like, guys, I'm telling you, if you guys buy in, we can win a state championship. And that was before the season even started and stuff like that. And he was like, I almost guarantee you the guys will remember that too. And just that mentality. He said he goes into every season, like, I mean, like it's kind of counterintuitive. Every coach goes into the season like, we're winning a state championship this year. But like when he said that, I could tell he meant it. He's the only coach to win three state championships with three different schools. And those guys, had so much respect for Coach Delaney, and Coach Delaney had so much respect for those guys. It was kind of hard to tell who was really responsible for it. And in the end, it was just obvious that just everybody was played such a big part of it. But you look at Coach Delaney's resume, and that man just has gone on to do so many amazing things and just being a class of his own and stuff like that. And I think that's what it really boils down to. Like, he's just that type of guy. Like, he's just a, like, just top-notch motivator who just, he even got those guys who are bumping heads to start going the same direction and then picking up speed like a locomotive going on that 27. Right?
That
it
actually
was just crazy.
Was going to be my next question is, were they able to kind of get on the straight path beforehand, or was he kind of the missing piece to help them get on track?
So, like, I do think I didn't include the clip or like the little like blurb in it, but Brian Hurst, when I was telling you, like, he said like he wasn't gonna play, he said his dad told him like, hey, there's this guy coming in, Coach Delaney, he's the real deal. I know you're not sure about playing this year, but if you're gonna listen to your old man, like, you should join the team this year. And he said that like that moment, he had a lot of respect for his dad and still does. That just really kind of like motivated him here. And like, there's a good coach. A lot of them were saying stuff like going like under 500 and seeing that just building up over the course of a few years and stuff like that, it can get to you. And just that winning mentality that he came in the door with, just like, we got this, that seems like that went a really long way.
In talking to any of the players, did they have a sort of, well, what was their first reaction to Coach Delaney?
Seems like everybody really liked him. The Barnard twins even went as far as saying, like, when he stepped in, like, day one, they felt like he had something to prove. Like, he, when I got to talk to him, he had a lot of really cool mentors. He went to Muncie Central, Muncie Burris, and somewhere else, I want to say, but he for sure went up to Muncie and had a couple of really awesome mentors who are like IBCA Hall of Famers and stuff like that. And they just said, like, he talked the talk and walked the walk from day one, and that was the most impressive thing. And he gives them a lot of credit for buying into the 26-year-old first-year head coach and stuff, but as far as I can tell from talking to them, like, he deserved it. Like, he walked in and was just crazy good, which it blows my mind hearing all of the stuff in his resume that he didn't get the Morristown job, because he was interviewing for that one too. And that's no disrespect to Coach Matt, because he's got a crazy cool resume too. I got to talk to him last year, but wow, like, just how everything went together, just wow.
So the other question I had was, did you get a chance to interview Coach Delaney?
Oh, yeah. He was actually probably the longest interview that I had. I want to say I interviewed him first. I was really trying to be respectful of his time. Cathedral had a really good basketball team this year. They won in 22. That was his third of three state titles and stuff. They were really good again this year, so I interviewed him even before, like, the boys postseason and stuff. Everybody else was a lot more recent, like, in the last couple weeks or so. But I was really trying to be really respectful of his time. And that's one thing that sucks is, as I do so many interviews, especially for stuff like this, like, I kind of wish I would have talked to him last sometimes. It goes both ways. Sometimes talking to, like, the coach first sets you up with so many, like, follow-ups for the players, because the coaches, obviously, they're in their 20s and stuff like that. Like, they're adults. Like, they remember, like, exactly what happened even decades later, where some of these guys were, like, 18-year-olds and stuff. So I know the coaches, some of those coaches just have memories that are crazy. Like, even years later, like, I'll ask some of the coaches, like, about what happened during the game, and they'll hit me with, like, the LeBron James moments where, like, they'll walk me through, like, step by step what happened, and it's like, yeah, that definitely checks out.
They got it down to a T.
Yeah. And the stuff like that, like, wow, dude, like, I cannot believe that, like, that was just what I kept telling myself, is as I learned more and more about it, was just, wow, I cannot believe that they freaking pulled this off.
And when you talked to him, did you guys, Were you able to talk to him about his recent championships as well?
Yeah, so I did talk to him about it a little bit. I didn't want to like make it too big of a focus, and he was really like amped to be talking about the Waldron guys, because he even said like something along the lines of like, I owe like everything to that Waldron group. Like he said, I wouldn't have gone on to do like most of the stuff that I've gone on to do in my career if those guys didn't buy in and everything the way that they did. So he clearly had so much respect and still does for all those guys, and he was just over the moon to be going in after all this time on January 26th and seeing all those guys and their families and stuff like that, because I can't remember exactly, but like they all had like girls, so like they all like had like a photo on the 26th, and they had like 20 different like 20 some daughters and stuff like that between all of them and stuff, and that was just really awesome, and I he told me that he really liked that too.
Did you get a chance to ask him if he the question I'm getting at is like, did he have any similarities in the way he ran programs, like from Waldron to when he went to the next one to when he won at Cathedral?
Yeah. So to me, it seems like really he's kept that attitude that won him that state championship at Waldron the entire way. Like even kind of like going back to like the practice where he was running them and stuff, like he was like, if you guys buy in, we're going to win a state title. And it sounds corny because, like, there's – I can't even tell you how many teams in the state are looking to do that every year. But when he says it, he means it. And, like, that in its own, like, right, just really means a lot. And you can tell, like, just that, like, if we lose, it's okay. But, like, we're not gonna – you know what I mean? Like, you can just tell. Like, he's got a really good attitude and – coaching is just so important at the end of the day. Like having that good role model that's just stoic on the sidelines regardless of what's going down. You know better than I do how important that good leader on the sideline is.
I know you said that he talked about like coming back in January. Did he explain really like what that feeling was like to come back into the Waldron gym in January?
Yeah, like kind of like I talked about it a little bit earlier. He said like, you can not see a state championship winning team for decades. And it, like he just said, it felt like they never like were a part at all. Like he's been to quite a few different schools now, won multiple different state titles and stuff like that. But he said it just felt like they were practice again type stuff, and I think that's really cool. I really believed it too, because all those guys, like you can just tell that they still stay in really good touch with each other and are really happy to hear about the small wins in life and stuff.
And did the players have a good, like what did they think of him? What did his players think of like how he coached and how he ran the team and everything?
They had so much respect for each other mutually. That was one of the coolest things, is like they both kind of realized that they couldn't have done it without each other. Like, and that's no disrespect to either one of them, because like that was a crazy good team. That's a crazy good coach who's one of one in his own right.
Just a perfect storm, basically.
It was just a perfect storm completely, yeah. And seeing how it all just wrapped together with everything, like that the postseason was crazy. They ended up playing Southwestern again in the exact same spot that they were last year, where they went on to go play in the state championship and stuff like that, and just so many similarities and stuff like that. And you can tell that just having Coach Delaney there like really helped them a lot. Like Brad Kuhn, who was one of the guards on the team, told me that like he for sure didn't realize the caliber of coach that Coach Delaney was until after he graduated. He said he would probably go out on a limb and say that it was in that like about 2014 area when he won with Tech that second state championship, and he was like, wow, we weren't just lucky, like he's the real deal. And then he even went on to say, like, he's kicking butt at Cathedral now. So, like, it's obvious that he just knows what he's doing and stuff like that. They were all so supportive of each other. And that was just the coolest thing, is just seeing that even 20 years later, like, that family aspect's still there. Like, the Barnard twins, like, they even wanted to make sure, like, at the end of all my interviews, I always try to turn the stage over and just say, like, I've been talking to you for 10-plus minutes. do you have anything that you want to say? And both of them were like, we got a lot of the credit. I don't know if it was because we were scoring a lot of points. I don't know if it's because we were twins or yada, yada. But we had so many talented guys on that team that just didn't get enough credit, and shouting out guys that just kind of are unsung heroes of that year and stuff like that. Like, you just see all the little stuff like that, and it makes sense why they won. Like, that just selfless, just buying into all their roles, that was another big thing that Coach Delaney talked about that I probably didn't touch on when you asked about, like, another one of the big things is everybody really bought into their roles and stuff like that. He said, like, nobody tried to overstep their boundaries. Everybody knew exactly what they needed to do, when they needed to do it, and stuff like that, and just the chemistry. Like, in big moments, you know, like, trusting in your brothers is just such an important thing late in the game and stuff like that. And he rattled off multiple examples of just that bond and that mutual love and brotherhood just paying off.
Hey, hey, this is Zane Ballinger with the Shelby Scoop Podcast. Thank you again for listening to our first episode. Thanks again to Hunter Skillman, and please make sure to go check out his article on the Waldron 20-year state championship.
This is a presentation of the Shelbyville News Sports Network. For more sports content and local news, check out shelbynews.com.